Greetings. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Amy Wentley for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. And for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from a periodical called In Her Garden that is published by Stampington and Company. It's published four times a year, so this is the spring edition, March, April, and May. And I will also be reading from the J.C. Ralston Arboretum website. Before we get started, I'd like to start with some announcements from the J.C. Ralston Arboretum, which is a local garden here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I usually save these postings for the end of the broadcast, but I'll go ahead and share them with you now because there are a few really fun things happening out there because it is crazy beautiful spring here. So let's start out. So this week on Thursday, April 9th, 2026, there is going to be a book launch. It's a Friends of the Arboretum lecture. The book is Chlorophyll in His Veins by Bobby J. Ward. And as part of the 50th anniversary celebration of the founding of the J.C. Ralston Arboretum, the UNC Press is publishing a revised and updated edition of Bobby J. Ward's 2009 biography of J.C. Ralston. It's called Chlorophyll in His Veins. So please come celebrate the official book launch. That's going to be Thursday, April 9th. It's going to be 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. And there will be a copy of Bobby Ward's book, Chlorophyll in His Veins. There will be copies there for purchase and signing. And Bobby grew up in Eastern North Carolina. He's a retired environmental scientist. And he has degrees in biology and plant physiology from East Carolina University and North Carolina State University. And he's written four gardening books, and one of them, A Contemplation Upon Flowers, earned the Quill and Trowel Award from the Garden Writers Association of America. Bobby is one of the most respected names in the world of horticulture. So the second event is for this Saturday, April 11th, 2026. It's going to be the North Carolina Bluebird Society Annual Meeting and Conference. Again, that's Saturday, April 11th, 2026. It's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and it's presented by the North Carolina Bluebird Society. And every year, the Society holds their annual meeting and conference at the JCRA. It's going to be at the JCRA for the first time, J.C. Ralston Arboretum, and it'll help you. There will be a lecture about bluebirding with the North Carolina Bluebird Society president, Kathy Kremnitzer, and she's also going to talk about caring for wildlife and bluebird questions we're going to have, and a message from the president. And then there's going to be a tour of the JCRA Bluebird Trail and many other things. So come learn more about bluebirds, hang out with the Bluebird Society. The cost is going to be $25 per participant. If you would like a box lunch, you can pay $15 for a box lunch. Also on Saturday, same day, 9 to 12:30, Saturday, April 11th, there's going to be Home Landscape Designs with Sazla. Sazla is, somebody help me out here. Here we go. It is the student chapter of the American Society of Landscape Architects at North Carolina State University. Okay, they're going to be, this is again Saturday, April 11th, 9 to 12:30. They're going to share with you how to plan the home garden of your dreams. And this is going to be with landscape architecture students from NC State University. So you'll hear a lot about all the new things they're being taught, and you can participate. So please come along. It's going to be $50 per participant, and payment will be collected there at the program. They ask that you bring cash or check. And advanced registration is required, so check out the JCRA on the web and sign up. Ooh, one more fun thing. We're going to have garden discovery hours on Saturday, April 11th from 11 a.m. to 1. This is interesting. Discover the hidden world of plant scents in the garden. There are free walk-up activities throughout the entire garden where you can learn more about how scents connect to everyday life in food, herbs, and fragrance, and they all come from the garden. So if there's inclement weather, the program could be canceled without advance notice. Again, it's Saturday, April 11th from 11 to 1, Plant Scents on the Garden Discovery Tour. And then on Tuesday, April 14th, there will be an evening garden stroll. The garden's going to stay open until 7:30 p.m. that night. At 6 p.m., there will be a free garden tour. And then there's also going to be yoga in the garden. So please stop by for the evening garden stroll, April 14th, Tuesday. Garden stays open until 7:30 p.m., so that's what's happening at our local garden. And now I will read to you from In Her Garden, the magazine published by Stampington and Company. And this first article was submitted by Adriana Gunstone. She's on Instagram at Disco Bay Dahlias. And she says, oh, pardon me. I'm in the most peaceful place I can be. As a stay-at-home mom to three children under 5 years old, my little dahlia garden is just about the only space in my current world that is just for me. In the few quiet moments of winter, I spend time daydreaming about and planning which dahlia varieties to include next, while last year's tubers are tucked away in wood shavings from our timber farm. In spring, every tuber gets meticulously planted, staked, and labeled with the help of my oldest, a budding dahlia lover himself. In summer, we enjoy the new surprises of color, eagerly drawing up the blinds every morning to see who bloomed overnight. Still in their pajamas, my kids help cut the bouquet of the day for our dining room table. By fall, it's all wild jungle, beautiful but wild, kind of like my stage of life right now. My garden is my favorite place to be from June through October, when the dahlias bloom like a whimsical sea of color. Again, that was from Avery Gunstone. Our next article is Full Circle, A Legacy Fulfilled. This is by Kay Arthur. And Kay Arthur is an ex-healthcare administrator, and she found peaceful living in a small mountain town in northern Arizona. After retirement, Kay, her husband Bob, and two dogs, Jack and Sophie, moved full-time to a cabin in the middle of the pines in Prescott National Forest. Simplicity and the beauty of nature has rekindled her love of writing and gardening. A farmer's daughter, she found her roots again growing plants, flowers, and specifically her beautiful dahlias. In her garden, she is surrounded by nature and meaningful reminders of her life and understands the importance of blending the past and the present as a true reflection of self. You can find her at moonflowerblooms.com and on Instagram at moonflowerbloomsdahlias. So, Full Circle, A Legacy Fulfilled by Kay Arthur. Down a dirt road in the heart of a forest, A kaleidoscope of color reaches proudly towards the bluest of skies. A sigh of joy escapes me every time I walk through the gate into my garden. I gaze upon the richness of colors, a contrast of texture and crayon shades, amidst the prolific green of the ponderosa pines. I touch the delicate petals, marvel at the blooms, and watch as the flowers dance in the mountain air. A spirit of contentment filters gently through the breeze, landing on both them and me. Born and raised in Illinois, the smell of soil still teases memories of carefree childhood days and my dad's hands sifting through dirt. He was a farmer and my mother an artist, so my eyes were always drawn to the artistry of flowers on canvas as well as the unfurling of plants from soil, the blending of my parents' passions. Therefore, it's inconceivable that I wouldn't love the delicate beauty of flowers and growing them, the smell of soil on my own hands, a trigger for those cherished moments. Farming was deeply seated in my roots, my ancestors' blood coursing through my veins, manifesting their legacy for future generations. The draw of the Southwest tempted our adventurous spirit in the early 80s with a move to Phoenix, Arizona, where soil was sand and water was scarce. There was no time or desire for the challenges of gardening in the desert, but moving to the mountains of northern Arizona full-time after my retirement nudged that childhood memory, and the yearning to put my hands in soil was squirming inside me. We turned an older cabin into our home, and the more I looked at an abandoned, fenced-in horse corral on our property, the more I could envision the perfect creation of my sanctuary garden. The blending of my mother's art and my dad's connection to nature has proven to be a spiritual way for me to spend my senior years. It's become a harbor of memories, a vault of childhood pieces, a keeper of places I've been, a church set in nature for God to speak to me through birdsong, the trill of hummingbirds, and the swish of hawks' wings. Visits from deer, javelina, and bears are a constant reminder of the presence of wildlife. This is their home, too. My husband cleared the land, and we started with a couple of planters, filled them with dirt, and struggled greatly that first year with cool temperatures, ground squirrels, and a short growing season. My vision of Dad's big boy tomatoes, sweet corn, and various vegetables drifted away with the season. The next year, I added another planter, improved the soil, and tried my luck again. I planted a salsa garden, tomatoes, jalapenos, and cilantro. Success! A few dahlia tubers intrigued me enough to attempt, and as the season progressed, it was as if my gardening dreams found their wings and soared. Dahlias became my passion. This past year, I added even more planters, tilled more plots, purchased more dahlias, built a greenhouse, and have created a garden that is undeniably my version of heaven on earth. My garden is filled with everything that's important to me, a place for heirlooms from my family, works of art from my children and grandchildren, pots I've painted, favorite souvenirs, and the most beautiful varieties of dahlias that have proven over and over how special those flowers are. I cannot express enough serenity of my morning coffee sitting with nature, surrounded by the beauty in my life. Mosaic stepping stones, each made with the initials of my grandchildren, lead the way to a secret garden in the back. A sign pointing the way was made from my dad's school desk, his initials carved into the woods by him as a child. I painted a hummingbird post made from a piece of my granddaughter's swing set. A mosaic pot is cemented with broken pieces of my mother's wedding china. There are decoupage notes from my children. A cherished script painted on the eave of my greenhouse, my parents' mailbox topper, Dad's toolbox, my childhood lunch pail. These treasures of previous and current generations surround me. With misting eyes and a full heart, I settle peacefully with over 70 years of memories. Happiness nestles around me like a warm blanket on a brisk night. And here's a list of things that Kay has learned in her garden. Number one, you don't need to spend a lot of money to have the garden of your dreams. Most of my plants were started from seeds in my cellar using lights and heat mats. What I did buy was found on discount racks at garden stores, on Facebook Marketplace, or at thrift stores. Number two, go through your attic or your parents' attic for garden decor. There are cherished memories waiting there. Number three, if something doesn't grow, make notes and don't plant it, or don't plant it again. Don't waste your time on something that doesn't work for your zone or your soil. Number four, so much is out of our control, don't get discouraged. Read everything, join Facebook groups, watch YouTube tutorials, get your soil tested, add nutrients, and fertilize. It's a learning process. Number five, be patient. Flowers grow at their own pace. Some of my dahlias took a month longer to bloom than others. Number six, record your gardening journey. Start a journal and take photos of what you plant. Weekly shots will remind you next year what the growing process was. Learn to coexist with wildlife. We have critters, large and small, that would love to get inside my gate. So I use Irish Spring soap, cayenne pepper, and peppermint oil spray to deter them. Bears can be a problem in our area, so composting is out. Instead, I add eggshells, wood ash, and worm casings directly to the soil. Number eight, lots of blooms? Give them away. You'll gain forever friends and neighbors by sharing bouquets. I use vases and jars purchased at thrift stores, and the smiles those flowers bring are priceless. So I feel I've come full circle in my garden. My parents are both gone from this earth, but it is with soothing ease that I can feel them here with me. The beauty of the flowers, the tending of the plants, the gifts of their talents guiding me. Everywhere my eyes land, there they are. I sit in my garden sanctuary and reflect on it all. Memories, prone to slip like ghosts into the past, have been captured here. And I tend to them as I did my children, with gracious devotion. They are that precious to me, and my spirituality has heightened to a level beyond the years prior to this moment. In many minds, the age of 70 is past time for starting a hobby or fulfilling a dream. Weariness and stamina are aging descriptions that are real. But finding this passion with flowers and spending time in the garden feels like I've come back to my authentic self. And my child spirit breathes again. There are so many gifts in my life that I love. Finding our mountain home with that abandoned horse corral was a gift that has led me to a quieter life bathed in simplicity. A husband who supports my passion and understands my need to go to the garden and turn off the rest of the world, that is also a gift. And of course, the treasure that is my family, who I hope to impart the importance of surrounding themselves with the stillness and beauty of nature, as learned from my parents, whose spirit continues to guide me. A legacy fulfilled. Who knew the journey of life would move so fast? It's taken me by surprise in so many ways, but it's a privilege to age, and I don't take a minute of it for granted. In a blink, it could be gone. But it is truly my lasting hope that whenever my children and grandchildren see beautiful flowers or an inspirational garden, they'll smile knowingly and say, "There she is in her garden." And next is a short bit from Sandra Ford in my garden. I am met with the challenging heat and bugs of Florida, but with some patience, the results can be rewarding. Being from England, I am striving to cultivate an English-style garden. We're surrounded by woods, and I love to see the wildlife that comes to visit. My husband, Bob, helps immensely with the larger projects and the heavy work. One of my favorite things to do is to find discount plants at garden sales and on death rails. I am always on the lookout for discarded vintage metal furniture and damaged statuary. Our garden has been built almost entirely from other people's throwaways. In the mornings, I usually walk along the brick paths that meander through the gardens, followed by our dog, Ringo, while I inspect the plants and admire the blooms. I make my way to my art studio tucked behind a quaint picket fence, which was lovingly remodeled by my husband. Gardening is really an extension of my artwork, and I enjoy both immensely. And next up, A Garden Party for Mothers by Kelly Welk. To learn more about Kelly Welk and Cider Press Lane, visit ciderpresslane.com. Her love of hosting event design and teaching workshops has thankfully spilled into the online world, where you can join her through online cooking and gardening classes. Plus, you can purchase the Cider Press Lane cookbooks so you can create a delicious meal to be served in your own magical backyard. So this is A Garden Party for Mothers by Kelly Welk. Give me all the floppy sun hats with the spring sunshine streaming down for the most special outdoor Mother's Day tea. There is something about this time of year and this holiday that calls our hearts outside to dig in the garden, bake homemade scones, zest lemons, and make fresh spring spritzers. When Carolyn Thompson of Willow and Mabel Garden Company and I started dreaming about hosting a garden tea for Mother's Day, we knew we wanted to create an experience that would transport our Pacific Northwest guests all the way to a countryside garden in England. To create this atmosphere, we set the tables with simple mason jars bursting with big bouquets of feverfew. We then created a delicious tablescape overflowing with bowls of fresh fruit, homemade lemon curd, scones, and Devonshire cream. Our favorite scone recipe is from the pages of our cookbook, Dinner Changes Everything. We topped the scones with a sweet yet tart homemade lemon curd and the delicious Devonshire cream, the recipes, both of which are shared on our blog, Cider Press Lane, Cider Press Lane. Homemade lemon curd is so easy to whip up, and it makes for the prettiest gift or party favor, too. The teapots were steaming with English breakfast tea, the perfect complement to our English garden-inspired gathering, but we also served tart grapefruit spring spritzers to cool and refresh our guests once the day warmed up. We are always dreaming about creative ways to design the place settings for our events and how we'll display each of the place cards. Springtime gifts us with so much beauty to be used. We potted small blooming violas, and when we used the pots not only as small gifts for each guest, but also as their place card holder. This is the magic of bringing gardens to the table and the table into the garden. They're such great companions. We dearly love filling tables with flowers, delicious foods, and friends. If you're looking at the empty chairs around your table and hoping to fill them, come join me on Instagram at Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, Welk, W-E-L-K, where I share, all sorts of hosting, cooking, baking, and gardening tips to help you see all the potential tucked into your everyday. And be sure to follow Cider Press Lane at Cider Press Lane, too, for so much inspiration from our own orchard table, events, cooking, and gardening classes. For all things flower farming, be sure to follow my co-host, Carolyn, at Willow and Mabel Garden Co. Here is a recipe for a mint simple syrup, and it's simple. Mix about 4 cups of syrup. You'll need 2 cups of water and 2 cups of granulated white sugar and 10 stems of mint. Then all you do is over medium heat, you take a medium-sized stock pot and you bring the water and the sugar to a gentle simmer. Once the sugar has mostly dissolved, you add the mint and then you allow that mixture to gently simmer for a couple of minutes. You remove the pot from the heat, cover, and you allow it to cool. Once it reaches room temperature, you can pour the mixture through a strainer and then pour it into a quart jar for you to use as you wish. And here's also a recipe for a grapefruit mint spritzer. You can use 2 liters of orange sparkling water, 4 cups of grapefruit juice, freshly squeezed or purchased, no added sugar, and add 2.5 cups of the simple syrup you just made, the mint simple syrup. And you can have some extra mint leaves for garnish if you would like. You mix together all the ingredients in a large pitcher and you serve it over ice with mint leaves for garnish. And here is another piece in my garden. This one's from Shelby Carter on Instagram. She is at South Bank Flower Company Co. South Bank Flower Co. on Instagram. I enjoy a simple, quiet way to connect with the natural world and find grounding in the steady rhythm of the seasons. Every phase of the year offers a unique testament to resilience, reminding us that every ending is merely a doorway into a new beginning. In the spring, hope arrives as a vibrant breakthrough, the first green shoot piercing through the thaw, proving that life is always ready to start again. Summer follows as a season of flourishing growth, where small seeds finally reach their full potential under the warmth of the sun and long days that feel as if they will never end. Even in autumn, as the landscape begins to fade, hope is found in the intentional act of tucking seeds into the earth, clearing the way for future life. Finally, winter brings a peaceful pause for reflection. It is the quiet preparation for the renewal to come, a time when the earth gathers its strength to rise once more. To garden is to believe in the constant possibility of a fresh start. It is a promise kept between the earth and the hand that tends the life in her garden. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Amy Wentley, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.